celebration for our Christmas celebration and always being prepared for when our Lord chooses to return. So what a better place to be than here in that light as we are in God's Word and receive His means of grace, His Lord's Supper this morning. Well, we welcome each of you. We invite everybody to sign in on the fellowship pad. Let us know that you're here worshiping with us. And we have a number of announcements. So Angela, we'll let you go first, and then Dan after that.
Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. I have a couple of things. This flyer talks about this month's Cook's Night Out, which is this Tuesday. It is normally later in the month, but with all the holiday things and traveling coming up, it is this Tuesday, December 10th at Panda Express. It's Chinese food. So that is in the center place near Target there. That is, again, Tuesday, and the school will get 20% back from whatever our receipts are. So thank you again so much for all the support for these programs, and it's always so neat to see everybody there. But Panda Express Tuesday. Then Wednesday, we have a caroling outing, and this is all Trinity Lutheran Church, all Trinity School. We're trying to get a big, huge group of everybody all together. We're going to meet at 5 o'clock Wednesday night, do a quick soup supper, hopefully be back on the road by 5:30 to get to a nursing home or two, and then hopefully back by about 7 so that it's not too late of a night for the kiddos. But that is this Wednesday, 5 o'clock. If you would sign up, if you're able to come, straight out that door is a bulletin board with a sign-up sheet. And if you are able to bring a pot of soup, just notate that as well. Then next Sunday, during the 10:30 service time, that is normally the contemporary worship service, will be the Sunday School Christmas program. So we hope that you can either stick around or come to that. The kids are getting excited to share the good news about the birth of their Savior. And I think that's all I have.
All right, Angela. Thank you.
Okay, so just a couple of quick notes. You'll notice in there we do have the Christmas gift for staff envelopes in there again this year. This is through the elders. They do this for the church staff. The school has went their own direction with their Christmas lunch and things like that that they're working with their people over there at the school. So this particular gift will go to the church staff, which includes, of course, Larry and Pastor and Debbie and two people on our janitorial staff, our DCE, Angela, and a couple of organists we'd like to recognize this year too. So there's eight people that would be involved in the recipient of this, and they're just at random in the front of the in front of you in your pew. So hopefully you'll find in your heart to help out on this again this year. It's always been pretty successful, and of course I mention again that. We have a luncheon at, right after the second service, and we do have the elders meeting, which is to vote on some
voters.
Let's do that too. So voters meetings, and it's for elections, and we do have a couple of candidates for you to consider, and then there'll also be a big update on what's happening in the second story of the school over there. I think it would be good information that the congregation would really, really be interested in hearing about as we move along in that process. Okay, see you then.
I forgot one. I'm sorry. One more thing. The angel tree that is out there that we do every year, if you've noticed, all of the little Christmas tree donation tags are gone. They were all taken last week, and that is just amazing. So thank you so much. If you were planning on grabbing one and are disappointed that they are all gone, we are doing a project through the school as well to donate coats, hats, mittens to the homeless shelter here in town. They have a larger group than normal this year, and they actually also at the current moment have 13 kids living with families there that will be there over Christmas. So they are taking hats, coats, mittens, any sizes, any color, any gender, kids, adults, men, women, anything. So I will have a big box over here if you'd like. It'll be at the school during the week, but next week if you weren't able to grab an angel tree tag for the Lutheran Social Services Refugee Center, if you'd like to donate a coat or anything like that, that box will be here next week. Thank you. Sorry.
That's okay, Angela. A lot of stuff going on. A couple other things, midweek Wednesday services. This Wednesday, we're going to continue our journey of studying the genealogies of Jesus in Scripture. We looked at Matthew's account last Wednesday, and this coming Wednesday at 10 a.m., we're going to be looking at Luke's account and explore the differences that are there. So hope that you can come and join us 10 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow, Monday, late afternoon, early evening, 4:30, is our Bible Tap group. We're just really getting off started and off running. But the focus of this group is to grow in being equipped to be able to defend the faith. And so we're going to be studying Lee Strobel's book, A Case for a Creator. And Lance, wave your hand over there. Lance has books here with him this morning. So if anyone would like to join us, and it's at the Tavern at St. Michael's, it goes 4:30 to 6, and second and fourth Mondays of every month. So tomorrow, 4:30. But Lance has books if you'd like to pick one up this morning. Thank you. Well, we come here to worship this morning, and a special order of worship again through this Advent season, and we begin with the opening hymn. Season, we are blessed to gather in the name of the one true living Almighty God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming
will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. With the breath of his lips, He shall kill the wicked. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. When John the Baptist was preparing to meet the Messiah, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We all should repent, for we have thought, spoken, and acted in divisive, sinful ways. John promised that the Messiah would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It was the Spirit who worked faith in your hearts in holy baptism. And through word and sacraments, our sins are forgiven, and we are given hope to amend our sinful lives and to look to our Lord's return and to the end of all things. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Paul writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope."
And we continue now with the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, wisdom from on high, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, grant us Jesse's tree, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, hear David, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Isaiah wrote, "In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nation inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And let us pray. O root of Jesse, standing as an ensign before the peoples, before whom all kings are mute, to whom the nations will do homage.
Come quickly to us.
Send your Holy Spirit to increase faith in us, Heavenly Father, so that we base our hope on what you have done for us, rather than on the empty promises of this fallen world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated now as we'll continue with our scripture readings for today.
This is the second Sunday in Advent, and the Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And I invite the congregation to stand for the reading of the gospel, and we speak together the Alleluia verse. Alleluia. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Alleluia. And the Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated.
And peace be to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. I'd like to begin today's message with a question to any of you, and a show of hands would be appreciated. How many of you have ever been walking behind someone in the woods when all of a sudden they let go of the branch that they had been pushing aside and it bounces right back into your face? Let me see that. Okay. Well, Brian, how did that feel when that happened? Not good, exactly. Smack, you know, because out of nowhere. Pastor was telling me this morning, too, Lindy has done that because he walks too fast, and so she lets that branch fly, slow him down a little bit. Well, that is a surprise to us, isn't it, when that happens? And it does hurt. And sometimes, though, we can also be surprised by a branch in a very good way, like when it's still winter and the branch on the tree starts to bloom. Pastor, you shared a couple of weeks ago about the birds that come and pick off the little berries on your tree. That's pretty neat during the winter time. Or when we think it's still winter and it's still going on to that last another month for us, and you see that the buds on those trees come early. And it's a surprise to us. Surprise, because what do we think? Spring is coming soon. Well, this morning we're also surprised by a branch. This branch, of course, is a person, and that branch is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take a look at the prophecy from Isaiah this morning that describes how this Messiah would come to us. And again, from Isaiah chapter 11, "There shall come forth from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes on what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. So for us today to understand the tree, stump, and the root analogy Isaiah is making for us, we're going to go back a little bit in the book of Isaiah, back to chapter 9. And Isaiah writes to the people of Israel in verses 13 through 15. He says these following words as inspired by God. The people did not turn to him who struck him or inquire of the Lord of hosts. So the Lord cut off from Israel head and tail, palm and branch, reed in one day. The elder and honored man is the head, and the prophet who teaches lies is the tail. Now, can anybody out there explain what I just read? I didn't think so. I had a little difficulty with that passage myself. So I went to a different translation. Perhaps this will help us understand what Isaiah is going and reading and telling us about. But the people paid no mind to him, and they who hit him didn't seek God of the angel armies. So God hacked off Israel's head and tail, palm branch and reed, both on the same day. The big head were the elders, and the lying prophets were the tail. Ah, a little clearer. The people were very wicked in that time, and because of the leadership that was crooked and the false prophets that were there, they put their trust in the alliances that they had made and not in God. And God said that he would cut them down, and he would use the Assyrians as the axe. The royal family, the descendants of Jesse and his son King David, would be cut down like a forest that had been clear, cut with not much of it left. But the wrath of God did not last very long and would not last forever for those people, because in the next chapter, chapter 10, God said of the Assyrians, "Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one." And again, for more clarification for us from this. "But now watch this. The master, God of angel armies, swings his axe, and he lops the branches. He chops down the giant trees, lays flat the towering forest on the march. His axe will make toothpicks of that forest, that Lebanon-like army reduced to kindling." It was in a very surprising way then that God destroyed the Assyrians. And here is exactly what he did. The Israelites were surrounded by the Assyrian army, and there was no chance of any escape. And so an angel of the Lord went out among the Assyrians, and on that day he put to death 185,000 Assyrians. And when the people got up the next morning, they were all dead bodies that they could see. And the king of Assyria left in a great haste because God had delivered his people. And I'm here to remind us all today that we are a lot like those Israelite kings. We deserve to be cut down also. Why? Because ever since Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of the good of evil, everyone else in their family tree, and that includes all of us gathered here today, we have rebelled against God. Just like the kings of Israel, we too put our trust in our alliances that we make. Suppose security that we have with our jobs, or perhaps it's our savings account, or it's our families, or perhaps we make an alliance with our own resourcefulness. But you know, in one swift motion, God could swing an axe and he could take all of those things away from us. And that's what we really deserve because of our lack of trust in him and for failing to do what he demands. And then in our reading from John today, about John the Baptist, we hear these words from the book of Matthew. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And yet, today we are reminded that the good news is we are not cut down. We are not thrown into the fire, but instead, by the grace of God, he delivers each and every one of us. And he does it in a very surprising way. As surprising as he sent that angel to kill those 185,000 men from the Assyrian army. And that is what our prophecy is about today. A shoot shall come forth, a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And so from that trump, or that stump of this wicked people, and from the line of wicked kings, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be born. A shoot of life would come from a dying nation. And this, of course, is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus. From the line of Jesus, or from the line of David, Jesus, of course, was born. And if you think about it and remember, he was born in a very surprising way, too. He was born in a barn, and it probably smelled of manure. He was born to a woman who became pregnant before she was even married, and from a people who had all but rejected God's promises. And the way that he accomplished the mission that he was given by his father, that's also very surprising as well. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him at baptism. He was anointed at that time, and Jesus did have perfect wisdom and understanding. He had perfect counsel and power, which he proved, of course, by the miracles which he performed. He also had perfect knowledge, so he didn't need to base his judgment on any evidence that he might see. He could see right into people's hearts. He can see right into our hearts. And Jesus did delight in the fear of the Lord and pleased him perfectly every way and at all times. Always managing to be sinless. And so what might we today expect from our Savior? Well, if he knows every sin because of his omniscience, and he hates every sin in his perfect righteousness, and he has power to destroy every sin in his omnipotence, then we might expect him to come in his wrath, striking people down. Maybe throwing bolts of lightning. But what a surprise for each and every one of us and for all people, because his weapons aren't bolts of lightning or fire from heaven, but his weapon is his holy and precious word, the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. And while he does have every right to destroy every sinner and to banish them into hell forever, look at what he does with his power and his understanding and his righteousness. What does he do? But he gives it all away. And like the living shoot that comes out of the dead stump, as you see illustrated on your bulletins this morning, what does Jesus do? But he brings life out of death. By his death on the cross in our place, he saves us from our eternal death. By his agony of hell for each and every one of us, what did he do? He saved us from hell. By taking our sin upon himself, he took our sin away, and he gave us his righteousness. That is a very surprising way that our Savior accomplished his mission. And Isaiah also promised that this branch would bear fruit. And what fruit he does bear. That fruit turns out to be us, his people. People who believe in him. We have that perfect righteousness that God demands. God has brought us to life so that we no longer are stumps, but healthy trees. Healthy trees bearing the fruit of faith. For we are now redeemed and we are forgiven children of God, receiving life from that branch that has been we have been grafted into him. By faith in the branch, Jesus, who died on the cross to remove our sin, we are sinless and we are holy in the sight of God. His favor rests upon us, and that means that we do have peace, peace with him. Just as the angels announced at Jesus' birth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And Isaiah later said that the same thing to us in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah when he wrote these words, again, inspired by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. And because we have that peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, through that first coming, one day soon, when he comes again, we will experience that perfect peace that is beyond any of our own imaginations when we are in glory of heaven, eating from that tree of life. And so today, my dear friends, I ask all of us to join together as we rally to the root. We gather around him in his word and in worship, and we find that very surprising peace that he has to offer to each and every one of us. Even when the problems we face seem to dominate our lives, and the peace of God is hidden under the waste and perhaps all the garbage that comes into our lives, we are reminded that we know that one day soon we will leave this life. And so I remind us today, don't be surprised when that day comes, but we are to be ready for it. And then be surprised at that perfect peace of heaven that is so much better than the best that any of us can imagine here while we're here on earth. And so for this Christmas, as we put up our Christmas trees, some of you may be in the process of doing that right now, we're reminded as we decorate those branches, remember the most important branch, the root of Jesse, who came from a very surprising place to accomplish his mission in a very surprising way, to give us those surprising results of that mission that were accomplished, the perfect peace that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love that he has given to us. And in this Advent season, we're reminded of that coming as we prepare our hearts, minds, and souls again for that blessed birth that we will celebrate in a couple of weeks. And so we ask the Lord to be with us this day, to grant us his favor, to give us that peace that passes all his human understanding. And it is in his precious and most glorious name we ask it. And all of God's people said, amen. And now, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your word and for Jesus, who embodies and fulfills it perfectly. And it is by your Holy Spirit that you fill us with the hope and the joy and the peace in believing in him. In his precious name we ask it. Amen. And at this time then, I would invite the congregation, those of you that are able, we'll make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, and very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we'll continue our worship now in prayer.
And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the root of Jesse, your precious only begotten Son. Jesus, we thank you for your willingness and accomplishing giving your life at the cross and the victory at the empty tomb, so that we now can live in that victory by your intervention, dear Holy Spirit, through your means of grace as you called us by name into this incredible faith. And so, Lord, we gather here with that peace and that joy and that hope that you reveal to us in your word. And Lord, as we go out in the public square, may others see the peace and hope and joy within us flowing out of our lives, so much so that they would even inquire of how we can be so joyful, how we can be so calm and secure in such a turbulent world. Lord, we pray for those who remain separated from you, that during this Advent Christmas season, that they will come to see your light, that they will come to your truth, and that their hearts will be saved forever. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, there are so many that go through severe trials, tribulations in their lives of various kinds, and certainly we have quite a list of members and other individuals listed in the bulletin today. You know each one of these, your precious children, Lord. We especially draw attention to Earl Weiss, who had hip surgery after a fall and is recovering. For Cody Schmidt, who is only 3 years old and enduring chemotherapy for the cancer that is in his body. Lord, for Memory Trout, used to attend here at Trinity, and Memory also dealing with a hip surgery and recovery from that. Lord, for Bob Coward, who fell this past week and broke a couple ribs. Lord, so many that are just going through very trying times. And we pray your comfort and your peace, that would be with them always, Lord, that they would know your presence among them. And Lord, you are the great physician. And for these named and all who suffer, we pray your intervention and miracles of healing. Lord, we ask that for Eugenia Snyder, Dick Bites' sister, who also fell, and for Dick's wife, Jerry, who had another surgery this past Friday. Lord, be with these, your suffering servants, and we pray that you would uphold them and encourage them, and in the face of their trials, that they would know the security of your love. O Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
Lord, we pray for Marge Pearson and her family as they grieve the loss of Marge's mother who went home to heaven this past Saturday. Lord, we thank you that you have received her safely home into glory. Now she's out of that broken body and living in absolute paradise and glory with you. Lord, we also hold up to you the family of Ashley Hayden. Ashley, only 30 years old and killed tragically in a car accident. Be with her parents, Mike and Mindy, and Christy Sanderson, a very close friend of the family, and all of these who grieve, Lord, and uphold them and encourage them in the face of death to know the victory of everlasting life, Lord, that you have won for us and offer to the world. Oh, Lord, we just marvel at your presence among us and the work that you continue to do among us. Lord, we hold up to you our voters' meeting this afternoon. We seek your wisdom and counsel in it. We pray, Lord, that in the discussion that takes place, that you would be glorified in the words that are spoken and any decisions that are voted upon, that this would be in accordance then, Lord, with your will. We humbly come to you to serve, Lord, and we seek your will, and we ask your will to be accomplished among us, and especially this afternoon as we meet. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we rejoice with Doug and Candy Reed as each of them individually celebrate birthdays. Lord, for all of those who celebrate special occasions, anniversaries, birthdays, otherwise, we thank you, Lord, and recognize that all good things come from you. And we certainly celebrate today Doug and Candy Reed's lives. What precious gifts, Lord, you bestow upon them and the blessings you work through them. And we are thankful for them and give you praise. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we continue to hold our nation up to you. And Lord, you know the turbulence in this land. You know the division and the hatred. And Lord, we pray that there could be reconciliation in this land. And that can only come by your intervention through your precious people, your church in this land. And so, Lord, may we as your children be instruments of peace and bring your wisdom and counsel to those who try to operate without the foundation of your truth. Lord, we pray in the end that this nation would be once again together as one. O Lord, in your mercy. We ask all of this, Lord, in your most wonderful and precious name as we seek your blessings and your will throughout this week and always. Amen. You may be seated and we continue with the offering. please stand. Hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for in his great sacrifice for us, he has given us hope of an entrance into your eternal kingdom, where conflict and discord will be things of the past. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for in your great mercy you sent your only begotten Son into human history to take our sins to the cross on our behalf. Blessed are you, Heavenly Father, for raising him on the third day as you accepted the full payment, thereby declaring us righteous for his sake. Gathered together in hope, we pray that you, O Lord, would forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit as we receive Christ's body and blood in with and under the bread and wine in this sacrament. Grant that as you have welcomed us to your table this day, that we would welcome one another each day until we celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood in this sacrament, you move us to look forward in hope to your eternal kingdom, in which we will know its peace and harmony. Hear us as we pray in your name and as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
story this morning. There's a young lady by the name of Ruth Ann Hesse, who we've been praying for weeks, months on end. And Ruth Ann is done with all the chemo, the radiation. She got the shunt out, and she looks great. God is a God of miracles, and we praise God for his blessings in this way on Ruth Ann. And also, another prayer request had come forth for Cambry Wacker, Christian Wacker's wife, who is in the hospital, and they're not quite figuring out what's going on yet. So if we could have a prayer for Cambry. Oh, dear Lord God, you know Cambry, you know her body, you created her body. And Lord, as the medical world is trying to figure out what is going wrong inside of her body, we plead that you would grant your counsel and wisdom to them so that they can serve as your instruments of care and comfort and healing. Lord, we pray that most of all, Cambry and Christian along with her can be at peace, knowing your love for them and the security that they have no matter what ailments or trials we go through in this life. And Lord, we are just overjoyed this morning with Ruth Ann and the blessings you bestow upon her. We pray, Lord, now that you will just continue to guard her body and that this cancer would never, ever come back again. Lord, we just thank you, though, that our lives are in your loving arms and care, and we are safe and secure. Oh, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. And Lord, we give thanks to you that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we ask that through it, O God of hope, that you would fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Paul prayed, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The blessing of God the Father, who created us, the Son, who saved us and shall return to welcome us home, and the Holy Spirit, who creates and nourishes the faith that Jesus is the Lord, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Peace.